Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi, this is Sharon Hoskins. Thanks for joining us today as we discover how the cross gives us life and liberty.
And you know, there is a list being made of our deeds that we choose to do daily for the glory of God in what He has called us to. So then I went before the Lord and said, Lord, You have all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And if we would apply that today, critical spirits, seeing one another after our weaknesses, rather than being a new creation, would literally disappear.
Now, Janie, we have discussed that the cross provides complete freedom from sins by the blood, complete freedom from self by the crucifixion, and complete freedom from the power of Satan in our lives. So today we're going to be looking at ways that we put ourselves back in bondage when the cross has given us life and liberty.
Amen.
And actually, you know, it says that in Galatians 5:13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called to liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another."
I know. And if we would do that, we wouldn't have to have this lesson today on the deeds of the flesh.
Yeah.
We could forego it. But unfortunately, this lesson is probably one of the most important ones that we'll be able to share if we can grab a hold of it. And you're talking about Galatians 5:13. If you pop on down to 15, it tells us, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another." Mm-hmm. And then it tells us what the solution is, which is by walking in the Spirit. And when I was looking over that this week, Sharon, I noticed that there are, well, verses 19 and 20 and 21 are what we are really focusing on today. And that is a fourth of that whole page column. To have to describe that many works of the flesh to serve as a warning to the church.
And, you know, I think that is so important for us to look at the lusts of the flesh or the works of the flesh so that we can monitor our heart, you know.
Yes.
to do that double check, not because, you know, you and I are sitting here pointing fingers at each other and saying, you better not do this and you better not do that. It's a way for us to examine our hearts. You know, is this me? Have I done this? Is this something that's creeping into my life? And so as we go through those today, I just want to encourage you to really just pause and examine.
Yes, which the scripture tells us to do. And, you know, there is a list being made of our deeds that we choose to do daily for the glory of God in what He has called us to. And we don't really put a lot of emphasis on that on our daily walk. If we did, we would be a lot more sensitized as to how we do treat one another.
Yes.
and how we think about one another. So let's go to the deeds of the flesh. I think there's some words there that we read and we probably really don't even have a one-liner, much less a deep theological understanding.
Right.
And when we start off in Galatians 5, we're going to start off in verse 19, and this is just an observation, but there are three long verses, 19, 20, and 21, that describe the deeds of the flesh. And I find that sad that Paul had to go into such detail on all of these things for the churches to recognize how they were living. And then in verses 22 and 23, very short verses, is the complete fruit of the Spirit. And I just thought, how the fruit of the Spirit has been kept so simplistic with just love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. And then we go to the works of the flesh, and I noticed that the first four works of the flesh, Sharon, all have to do with sexuality, perversion, defrauding one another, not only sinning against God, but sinning against your own body.
And those four are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness.
That word, lasciviousness, is actions that are lustful, vulgar, obscene, without regard or restraint, and brutish and lustful desires. Now, there are some things that I know that that include that I will not even repeat on the air.
Okay.
They are so vile. But we see it happening.
Yes, we do.
But Sharon, it was happening back at the time.
Back then, too.
Yes, yes. So sin and self and selfishness have never changed. They cannot be improved upon. They must be crucified, and that's where we have kind of camped out.
Mm-hmm.
Uncleanness is any thought or word or deed of impurity, and I'm wondering if pornography could fall under that one. And then we know that fornication is any kind of sexual relationship with unmarried people, and we know that adultery is inside the...
Outside of marriage.
Yes. Yes. In other words, being unfaithful to your spouse and going to somebody else. And it does say in the last days that, and I'm not going to get into this in detail, but that there will even be bestiality. And we still see that. And we need to let our children know in the privacy of our own training them how far down sin can go when Satan is taking it down the trail.
Yeah.
And then after that, we have idolatry. And Christians are going to say, no, I don't have a problem with idolatry. I don't have a golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not out there.
I don't have a shrine in my home.
That's right. But then I'm wondering if you worship deity in any visible form. How about that little god that puts the Lord Jesus Christ in secondary place? It could be an automobile, or it could be an automobile or an ambition.
A ball game.
That's right. A position or a pleasure, politics or people. And boy, don't turn on the news or social media if you don't want to get into that one. Or do we love someone more than Jesus Christ to where that loved one is an idol?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Now, we're to love with all our heart and mind and soul, but if I...
It could be our church, too. Our church building, our pastor, our services.
Our denomination.
Denomination.
But then, here is something where we all probably have to hang our head in shame. Hatred, to dislike or detest another person.
Okay, did you skip witchcraft on purpose?
Oh, no, I didn't. I simply overlooked it. Let's don't overlook it.
Yeah.
All right. Although we know that it is best known as fortune telling or palm reading or spiritualizing or talking to the dead spirits, we also know it's probably in a lot of our gaming and what our children are exposed to. I went in to buy a simple gift in the children's department at a major store. 90% of the toys, I put that in parentheses, were icons of demonic spirits that are shown on these games, the videos. I couldn't find a simple toy to buy someone who was about 8 years old. Everything pointed to the unseen forces.
And that's the way the books are going. There are movies, TVs, even if it's just a, you know, so-called innocent cartoon show, there is some sort of magic or witchcraft of some sort in those things. And, well, and that's what it's come to.
And a Christian would say, hey, I don't let my children get into that. But let me ask you this. Are you superstitious? Will you not walk under a ladder? Do you cross your fingers when you're making a decision? Do you have some little beads that you hold on to and rub when you're anxious and anxiety for good luck rather than trusting your heavenly Father? These are minding things of the flesh. It pervades us because of the culture of society and just because of sin and the enemy working. Mm-hmm. You know, we are spiritual beings, and we have got to realize that that is the foundation, so that when we wake up of a morning, we are coming from who we are in Christ, a spiritual being, sojourners here on earth, mm-hmm. where earthly goods and ways should never have a priority in our life.
Yeah.
But evidently it is as long as the Garden of Eden and since then that there has been this battle going on, and we've become insensitive to it. We've mm-hmm. learned to accept it because we're bombarded with it.
Yeah.
And you finally just grow weak in the fight. But now I will go on to the hatred.
Yeah, I'll let you go on.
Okay,
now.
Thanks. All right. Are we judgmental towards one another's flesh patterns without holding ourselves to the same standard? Do we have that finger constantly pointed at the blame game? Mm. And yet the very standard that we are accusing someone else of, we are guilty of, because anything where we point the finger is contrary to the law of love and devotion to God.
Yeah.
Now, we do need to get into that, because do we just then allow sin to never reign and never be accountable? No, we have to have some accountability. But right now we're going through the flesh and the deeds. Variance. Now, a lot of people are going to read that word and they're not going to even know what it means, so they just skip over it. But let's give it a short one-liner. Have you ever caused discord or dissension among the children of God? Have you ever said something that planted a thought about another saint into mm-hmm. someone, that person then started to think about that person from what you said, and it caused discord, maybe in actions or attitudes? Mm-hmm. So we have to watch our words, and I love to put the word strife here. And it says in Proverbs 17 that we are to stop strife before it begins. Mm-hmm. Then we have emulation. Well, Sharon, competition or rivalry, because of jealousy with seeing someone else, we strive to equal or surpass the achievement of our Christian brothers and sisters. Well, I wanted that Sunday school class. I don't know how come Susie Q got it, because I had told people I wanted that class, or I wanted this part of this thing, or in a music, there's a lot of problems with music, with who gets to do what mm-hmm. in a band or a worship team. Mm-hmm. Wrath is just taking hatred and taking it to venomous exasperation. I almost can't say that word. Raging resentment, attacking one another face to face or behind the backs. Okay? And then we do have strife, contest for superiority between two people, each one contending for the same authority, recognition. And that can come out in marriages. That can come out in kids at school. They need to learn how to stand alone and see where God has gifted them. And we're responsible for doing that training. Then the word sedition, and that is commotion within the church, resulting in rebellion and attitude and actions. And sedition is one of the main reasons we have church splits.
There's a lot of that going around.
Well, and here's the thing. If we don't resolve it, then what we do is we take our variance, our strife, and we move it across the street.
Yeah.
Or we move it over to another side of town. But we take it with us, and we then birth it all over again. Rather than being called to the gift and ministry of reconciliation.
And, you know, I think that's why a lot of people, unbelievers, people who are maybe even seeking some truth, maybe that's part of why they struggle in allowing Jesus Christ in their heart, is because they're seeing all of this stuff in us.
A Christian should be the most attractive person that you can have. You'd want to hire them. You'd want to fellowship with them. And then we have just a few more that I'm just going to call them to our attention. We have envying, common sins of the discontented Christian. So we envy what someone else has. Murder, we know what murder is in the physical. Do we know what murder is when we hate our brother? drunkenness, we can be intemperate, worldly, indulgent. And then we can have revelings, which is really having a worldly house party. So this is a very short outline, Sharon.
Did we miss heresies?
Heresies is any school of thought that's contrary to the recognized fundamental doctrines of truth. We go amok.
Okay.
So let's look at a couple of negatives, just not to be critical, but to up our awareness,
right,
sensitize our conscience and our hearts so that we can catch ourselves when we are about to fall into the trap that can be laid before us.
Okay.
And one of the first ones is, have we left our first love? That's Revelations. And we get so busy serving the Lord as believers.
Mm-hmm.
But when we leave our first love, it's not lose. We make a choice to walk away from the heart devotion that we have towards Jesus Christ. He's not our all in all. I was just reading to you before airtime something that came across my attention that I thought was so good by William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. And he just said, basically in a nutshell, that there had been people that had greater brains than him, greater opportunities than him. But one day he got a vision of the poor of London. And the Lord impressed upon him that that was going to be his calling. And so he said he knew that he had to make up his mind that God should have all of William Booth. And he said, so then I went before the Lord and said, Lord, you have all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And if we would apply that today, critical spirits, seeing one another after our weaknesses rather than being a new creation, would literally disappear. So our first love is a paramount thing that
right.
we have got to keep. Sharon, have you ever, I know you like to sing. I know that's a secret desire, but we sing "To God Be the Glory."
Mm-hmm.
And then I find I can look at very subtle ways to say, how can I keep the glory for myself?
Mm.
Okay, it's a subtle thing.
Yeah, we really must be aware of ourself, our selfishness, so that we don't fall into those old ways and continually surrender that old man, those old ways, that flesh, those fleshly desires, surrender them to God.
Sharon, when I sing the song, "I Surrender All," or "Where He Leads, I'll Follow," I remember singing that years ago, and the Lord then packing us up and sending us to the desert, the Arabian desert, and then having my husband go offshore, and now where he led, I was having a tough time following. So, and "I surrender all," we need to stop and think when we sing those words, because if we sing them out of sincerity, God's going to hold us accountable
to
that.
Well, you know, those songs aren't hardly sung in church anymore. We're taking those songs out, you know, those old hymns.
When I sang "I Surrender All," I could feel a check in my spirit, knowing there was something in some closet of my life that I was having to think twice.
Yeah, you can have all but that closet.
Yes, that's right.
There you go.
And Sharon, you're in ministry. And is there not sometimes a self-thought desire to preserve your reputation?
Absolutely.
You don't want anybody saying anything bad about you, or you're failing in this endeavor or that endeavor. And even though that is a godly intent, we have to always check to see, are we serving for significance?
Exactly.
Thinking, Sharon Hoskin, if you only knew her, man, she's a wonder woman for the Lord. Okay. Good intent, but wrong emphasis.
And, you know, it has to do with making sure that your service is to the Lord and not for yourself.
That's right. And your own agenda. And even in a place where you are, where you have so many different areas where you are an authority, then sometimes I find that we want dual controls. We want to keep a little bit of our authority under our control, just in case Jesus would fail us. and helping us maintain that reputation or mm-hmm. that open door. Mm-hmm. And so
And really, there are times that I have heard myself and went, whoa, that sounds like I am controlling this whole situation. Hang on. Yeah. Let me back up.
So I have learned to tell the Lord of a morning, I'm handing over to you the complete controls of my life. Mm-hmm. And then going through the process of saying, and so therefore, by the Spirit, I can live in calmness. I can live in the peace that passes understanding. I can live in the tranquility, not because I want just those good assets, but because that is the life of Christ coming out, and that is what our goal is. And then you mentioned something a week or so earlier about that you had examined your heart and you did see growth in your conduct and your character and your love for the saints. Mm-hmm. And that had been brought through part of the study that we have done this year. Part of it had been done through some theology that you knew, but maybe God had to bring some painful experience to make that theology come to life.
Absolutely.
And yet that had been a tool where God had increased your stature, your love for Him, your dedication. So we can know more about the journey that we're on through some positive good things, but we can also learn where we need to grow in Him by some of the tough times that have hit us. So we shouldn't run from the tough times.
The Crab family has a song called Through the Fire.
You know what? Let's give them honor and a tribute today. I do have some words to that song that I would like to just present as a testimony to what the cross does. The Crab family sings, "So many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision and my frustrations get so out of hand. It's then I am reminded I'll never be forsaken. I'll never have to stand the test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong." I'm sorry I don't have the vocal for that, but bear with me, and this will be an incentive to listen to the Crab family. But he goes on as he sings, "And he never promised the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up. He never left, and he'll take you through the fire again." So beautiful words.
Wow.
By a man who obviously had been through the fire and understood that the fire will come again.
Yeah. And that fire is the element used to burn off the bonds that we place ourselves back in after we have been given life and liberty through the cross. We put ourselves back in these bonds, and God uses this fire, these situations, these trials, circumstances, to help us to see ourselves and to get rid of, to pull off that dross and get rid of those things that are taking us back down the road of sin. And, you know, Jesus paid it all on the cross. And that's one thing that has really, that's been difficult for me to grasp, but as I have more understood what it means to be crucified in Christ and to be free from sin and death and to overcome Satan, that it brings a whole new understanding of how Jesus paid it all on the cross. He paid it all.
And just a point of interest, but the scriptures point out that the nail prints were in the resurrected body of Jesus Christ, that body that ascended into heaven. And I believe that we will see those nail prints throughout eternity. But I'm going to have to give it back to you now so that we can wrap it up.
Yeah, we are out of time for today.
This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again, or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.